guys, welcome to the Save Continue podcast, where we talk about video games and video game related stuff. As always, I'm Shanae Howard, and with me is Tommy Shelby.
Hello.
And Ryan Robinson.
Hi.
As some of you may have noticed, we sound a little bit different, and if you are one of our people who sometimes check our YouTube, you'll notice that we're not really updating there. We are changing the cadence of how often we do it and trying to get, you know, new setups, get better audio for those who listen to us.
Because of podcast madness.
Podcast madness.
Has to change. And we're together now.
Yeah, we're in person.
Weird. For the first time since the pandemic.
Yeah, which is apparently take that, COVID.
Technically still going on. I don't know.
No, we've
been 2 years since we have did this in person.
We have defeated COVID between this Triforce.
Yeah.
Everyone else is still in the danger zone, yeah. But not us.
Good job tying it back to video games.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, no, it's been a while since we've met up due to like a bunch of life events and of course changing the format. Mm-hmm. What have y'all been playing? What have y'all been doing? Quick summary.
The only thing I've really been playing is, I almost said New Super Mario Brothers. Mario Brothers Wonder. And it's really, really good.
Tell them what you call it.
Well, so he turns into an elephant. Like, that was kind of the whole thing for a bit with that game. And it makes me think of Babar. So I've been calling him Babario.
Oh, that's good. That's a good one. I like that.
Surprisingly, I've never heard anyone else say that. So
I haven't either.
Yeah, Tom's an icon, a trendsetter.
Clever man.
But no, it's great. It's a great game.
Is that multiplayer?
It is, but I've not tried it multiplayer. Although I hear like it's pretty good even with strangers.
Really?
Yeah, because like, unlike the new series, you can't fuck with each other.
Okay, no friendly fire.
And like, people will like help you find shit, you know?
Oh, nice.
People are like actually kind of comparing it to Souls. In that, like, you can leave a little respawn point and, like, help each other with shit. And, like, yeah, it's weird.
So I wonder if, like Souls, people are just being dicks about it as well.
I don't really know any way that you could be a dick about it. You can't really affect anybody.
Well, they mean, like, in, like, the terms of, like, how people talk to people about it.
Well, like they'll also be like, hey, this way for, like, treasure, but it's, like, a really hard boss fight. Right.
Yeah.
That's an old.
But
old
no, classic. I've not played any multiplayer. I'm gonna play it all by myself, and then I'll go back to it.
Mm. What about you, Ryan?
A lot of the Division 2 lately for some reason.
You're weird.
I don't know what it is.
You keep going back to that game.
I love the Division. I don't know what it is.
You like Division?
It's weird because, like, every time I go back to that game, I'm like, I bet no one's playing it. And there's always a ton of people.
Of course.
But it's still a good time. I actually suckered one of my friends into playing it with me last night. So that was really fun, too. But it's fun going back to a live service game that you haven't played regularly for, like, 2 years and seeing all, the new shit. Because there's a lot of new shit in the Division now.
That's what I thought about Animal Crossing, and apparently it's just the same shit year after year.
Yeah.
They added things like the first, 2 years, because they added, a bunch of, the swimming thing. And,
apparently, the holidays and all that aren't any different than they were previously, you know?
I mean, yeah, that's what I, would imagine. But also, it makes,
like, you know, Killing Floor had the whole Krampus thing for a long time.
I fucking hated that, man.
But then they changed it. You know?
I hated that so much. I've been playing a lot of the Division. I also revisited Sea of Stars, actually earlier this afternoon. Just a really, really great game that I didn't think that I would be as into as I am, but it's got a lot of stuff about friendship, and that's kind of my jam. Also, I finished Yakuza 7 Like a Dragon.
Do you feel like a dragon?
Yeah, I think I do.
At what point?
What about a double dragon?
No, not yet.
At what point do you start calling it like a dragon?
Well, I'm calling it like with every, because it's always been like a dragon in Japan, right? But here in the States.
But now it's like a dragon right here.
So starting with the next game, which is Like a Dragon Gaiden, which is coming out this month.
That's Are you going to get it?
Absolutely.
But do you say Yakuza is your favorite series, or do you say Like a Dragon's your favorite series?
That's actually, it's interesting because like I'm getting myself to the point where I just call it Like a Dragon across the board. But sometimes I still call it Yakuza because like I'm just used to that. But yeah, I think I'm going to just call it Like a Dragon, just straight up.
Yeah.
But yeah, even Yakuza 7 or Like a Dragon, my bad.
Yeah.
Well, technically it is called Yakuza 7 Like a Dragon. So it's kind of weird.
Over there it's called
Like a Dragon 7 Like a Dragon.
You would think that the game going to a JRPG format would be something that I wasn't into, but I'm actually totally into it. And it's interesting because I feel like Sega has released my two favorite JRPGs of all time. And one of them is like in that franchise.
What's the other one?
Persona 5.
Oh.
And lastly, I've been playing Baldur's Gate 3.
Yeah.
But with my wife, because I feel like as a solo experience, it's like overwhelming. It's just like too overwhelming for me because like...
That's how I felt about Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah, which is like there's so much shit going on and there's like so many people to talk to. There's so many fucking quests to do.
And also, and like if you don't really have like a like tabletop or like specifically D&D background, yeah, it also is like a learning curve with that. And yeah, then, yeah, but it's also so broad and there's so many storylines that you can go down.
Yeah.
No, I totally understand that.
And I've played one D&D campaign in my life and that is my entire point of reference for this stuff. But playing it with her has been made it like a lot more fun and it's easier. And also we decided like from the onset, like who we're romancing. So like that character is off limits to the other person.
Oh yeah, we did. Once we like when with me and Birdo's campaign, he picked Shadowheart immediately because
steal their person.
I wonder if I can do that, and I wonder if I can do it in a way that like she doesn't realize I'm doing it.
Well, no, because y'all both get put. I mean, put in. Well, even like. Well, you can make dialogues private where she can't see them, but not all of them have that private option. But if she's already in the relationship with the person, like already agreed, like and had that romance cutscene, then they would have to break up before you could.
No, what I'm saying is like beat her to that.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Or like play on her file when she's not there.
She's always doing that. She's always there, so like I wouldn't have a chance. But no, I'm... My heart belongs to Lazel, so.
Yeah.
Is that a character in the game? I work with somebody with that name.
Yes, that is a character in the game.
Yeah, she's a Githyanki. She's the one that, she's the one that.
That sounds dirty.
Yeah, that's the race that.
Some people would say that, yeah.
That Ryan said that Shadowheart was racist against. Which, like, sure. I restarted, like, I started my own campaign instead of just the one with Birdo. Mm-hmm. And I got some more dialogue options with Shadowheart that I paid attention to. And I get what you're saying now. Yeah. She does say some bigoted ass shit.
I mean, she kind of just comes out with it, which is why I'm surprised you missed it. Because she was, like, very, like, I don't like your kind. Like,
well, so, I think it's just, like...
Sarah from Land Before Time.
Yeah, she's very much three horns don't play with long necks, yeah, basically, so...
I was just trying to like initially get the game, sure. Like, so yeah, I don't know how I missed it either. I wasn't medicated at that time. I am now.
Yeah.
I've been playing a lot of Baldur's Gate 3. Surprise to no one. I've actually been having a really fun, like a really fun time trying to like imagining characters I want to play the game through as now that like with me and Birdo's campaign, we're almost at the very end. Like we only, and I've done like almost every quest we've been able to do.
Jesus Christ.
And I'm playing it. And that's my Dark Urge playthrough. So I'm also getting all that story beats and storylines as well. So yeah, no, we've put a lot of like time and hours into that. And, yeah, almost done with that one. So I've been playing a new one of my own. And I already have like two more characters like in the wings.
I love that about you. Like when you get into a game, you fucking get into a game, man.
Well, like, so right now I have a headcanon story for my character where it's a bard, but she's more like a stage manager. And as I go through the game, she'll get more confident about her own performance ability.
Yeah.
But my next character is going to be a necromancer healer, where the whole tagline is just because you die doesn't mean I'm going to stop doing shit. It's like, I may not be able to save your life, but I can give you an undead one. And then I also have a himbo character I'm going to play next, after that. And then, also like now that I have a new,
it's wild how many save files you have.
Yeah, and I've been like with my
what you going doing with Ryan? One?
Yeah.
One save file.
So okay. I had the
one. Are you even playing, you know?
Well there's also autosaves that will do like their own autosave besides their own like one manual one.
The game will also tell you like, hey, you've got too many save files, so you're gonna need to get rid of some before we let you make more of them. And Kaylee had that problem because, like,
that's fucked up.
She does what she's doing, what Shanae's doing.
It's 2023, you know?
Let
me have as many save files as I want.
Sure. I mean, this is America, you know?
There's just, and it's a pretty high limit. It's like, it is quite a few save files. So, what I do with mine in my own playthrough is I just, like, give it, like, a generic name. So, like, whenever I'm in the Grove, I just named it, like, Tiefling Drama.
Okay.
So all the things that are about that there, and then anything, because I'm going to try and romance Starion in this one and see what everyone is about this twink vampire boy. And so I have like an Starion one, and then all the other like kind of like generalized story beats, I have like their own saved and like a funny name for that one. And then I have like one save that's just for like save scumming to like for like roles and stuff. So like, cause there's some roles that like, if you don't make them, it's just game over and you just finish your game. So, So I have like those and I still have to go through and delete like a lot of the auto saves, but I'm playing that, still touching a little bit on, Akitomi games, playing them here and there. I've been like watching quite a few shows too. So I've been like, watching those and playing actually Murder by Numbers again.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I still love that. Like, I've played like a lot of like Pictocross games after that now, and like none of them, the controls don't like work as well. I get like annoyed that I have to go through the story each time and there's no like skip through what you've already read or done before.
Do you have Nintendo Switch Online?
Yeah, I do.
So they've got like Mario Picross on there, which is like very old.
Mm-hmm.
But it's real good.
Yeah, I just like, I really like the way the controls work, and there's, and like doing it on your phone does not work well.
Yeah.
There's so many times that I, and like some of them, like they even like penalize you for accidentally hitting the wrong square.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no, I didn't think it was actually that. I'm just have dumb fingers.
Right.
And like, I hate when like some of them have like a toggle feature where you're toggling at the X or the fill in.
Mm-hmm.
And then like sometimes I just forget to toggle it, and then it yells at me, and I'm like, no, I didn't mean to do that. But I also just like hate that it'll tell me that I'm wrong immediately instead of me like figuring it out.
Right.
So I really like, I mean, like Murder Night Number is pretty okay. The storyline's really boring after you've played it one time, but the puzzles are so good.
So is it like a nonogram game that is a murder mystery?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like if the Cases and Phoenix Wright were gone and replaced with Picross games, you know. But okay, it's fun. Do you still have a 3DS?
Yes, I do.
You should check out Picross 3D.
It'll
break your brain, but it's really good.
All right, I was like, I've played like something like a mobile app that's called Picross 3D. I don't know if it's the same game, but just like ported over or not.
Maybe. Those are like Nintendo published Picross games, you know?
Yeah. I don't know who the publisher was.
Yeah.
But so I've been doing that. Like I said before, watching a lot of Dropout and like playing that. Also, now that I have a more reasonable schedule when I get off work, grocery stores are still open. It's a very exciting world for me. Mm. I've also like Birdo does a D&D campaign with some friends and I'm going to join that. So I've also been, because I've been doing Baldur's Gate so much, been having a lot of fun trying to figure out what kind of character I want to play. And I'm going to join them next session.
Nice, dude.
Not necessarily a video game, but still game related, and I'm excited about it. But
I mean, the genre was largely based off of that game, so
But so they played last night, and I was like, talking to the DM and figuring out what his rules are. So when I play my character, like what to have in mind, like do you count encumbrance and all these other things that like different people like are strict about, depending on who's running the game. Mm-hmm. So, but we're talking, actually, yes. So we're talking, and we ended up talking about Pokemon and about how annoying it is with Pokemon games that you get the legendaries and there's not really much game left afterwards unless you are trying to do online, which online, the legendaries are not necessarily the best one to do if you're like doing PvP. And Birdo actually reminded me that like with Silver and Gold, once you did the... like the gems and the big four and you had the legendaries, then the Kanto region was opened up afterwards and you could go through and all the gems were leveled up significantly because it's like after game stuff and you can use the legendaries with that. And I forgot about that. And that like, that's actually one of the only, Pokemon in the franchise that I can really remember being able to utilize the legendaries without it being just for one match. And even then at that point I already had like a pretty solid team, so unless I purposely chose beforehand to pick a Pokemon that has the same types and like similar move sets, there really wasn't a point of swapping them out for the legendary one.
Yeah.
And normally also like grinding, I was normally higher level than it too, like not always but but it kind of just got me thinking of other games where when you get like the best weapon or ability or Pokemon or like move and where you actually get to utilize it. Because that was also, because like I did love The Witcher, but I really didn't like that. Like the armor that I wanted to get, I wasn't really able to get it until
you were done.
Almost done. Yeah. Like
what's the point?
And there's so many times too, where like with Persona, get like some of the best like Personas. Whenever I played it the first time, like I really wasn't able to utilize a lot of the Persona 5 stuff, like until I played New Game Plus.
Yeah.
And so, I just wanted to hear what y'all thought about like your favorite times where you got to use like the best thing in the game.
So that was my first thought, was New Game Plus. Like when the New Game Plus is actually fun and actually worth playing, it solves that problem. You know?
Yeah. But sometimes I want it to be like something different where I still utilize it and not replaying it. Like with like with Pokemon, like having like it's an entire extra region that you can go. Like,
yeah.
Granted, it's a region that you've played another game, but it's still another region.
Yeah.
I was also thinking about, I mean, technically it's New Game Plus, but it's not the same game, Nier Automata.
I mean, I think I just like the weapons in that game in general. You know, weapon stories and all that, and like some of them you really have to work to get. But I mean, that works in a New Game Plus type of way just because of so many different endings, you know.
But it's still, but it doesn't really feel like the same as like New Game Plus with like Persona or like Fire Emblem.
Because each ending feels like you're playing, I mean, you are playing essentially a different section at least twice, right?
But, yeah.
Yeah. But like New Game Plus in general, like, I feel like can solve that problem. I think about Shadow of the Colossus, any version of Shadow of the Colossus, like you have these time trials that unlock all these crazy, stupid weapons, right? And it's like one hit kill weapons and all that. And it's fun because at a certain point, if you're playing that game, you get to the point where you're speed running that game. And like, you already know that you can manage your stamina well enough to stay on that thing to stab it 20 times to kill it. So it's nice to just stab it once and be done and move on. But like, the time trials are unlocked as you defeat each colossi. So like, you're getting the best stuff at the end of the game, but then there is New Game Plus to go back to. But like, for me, a game like that, or a game like Resident Evil, any Resident Evil really, you're meant to play multiple times over and over again, you know? So I think that works well.
Mm-hmm.
But then like, Ryan, you might be able to help me with this one. There's a weapon, and I don't know if it's in all the Gears of War games, but it's at least in the first one, where like, you... It's not an airstrike.
Oh, the Hammer of Dawn?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about that today, and like...
I'm like, I feel like you get that pretty early before the ending anyways.
Well, see, here's the thing. The thing about that weapon specifically is that it's not something that you can just use whenever you want.
Right.
It's like there are scripted sections of when you can use
it. Okay,
and so, because like the way the narrative...
It's been a long time.
Yeah, the narrative justification... It's, what's funny is that like I played Gears of War 1 like a week ago. but like the narrative justification they have for that is that like... As a satellite, it's only good when there's, like, no cloud cover.
Yeah.
So, like, because of that, like, throughout the rest of the game, like, well, it's just too cloudy for you to use that.
So it's so cloudy.
Yeah, it's so cloudy, so we can't just, you can't just, like, bulldoze your way through the game with it.
Right.
But,
like, I think about stuff like that, or, like, even, like, in Doom, right? The BFG 9000, I mean, like, old Doom.
Yeah.
You get that with a lot of game left. And that's the most powerful weapon in the game, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that the BFG 9000 is like interesting because that's true. You do,
yeah.
But like at the same time, it takes like because it shares an ammo type with like
with plasma
with the plasma rifle, right?
Yeah,
and it uses so much of that ammo to fire it.
It does,
and then like and that ammo isn't like extremely common. So
I mean, look, you're not using it all the time, right? Yeah. You're not just killing imps with it,
yeah.
But like,
So you
are still badass.
It is. It's like, you know, it's like one of the more iconic FPS weapons, but like using it like requires you to always make a conscious decision about like, do I want to use this gun now or be able to use my plasma rifle later?
Right. Well, you save it. You save it.
Yeah.
You know, for hell barons and whatnot.
Sure.
But,
which I also found out like a while back that like it's possible to miss with the BFG 9000. I did not know that was possible, but. I was playing the game with a couple friends and
we had an old Doom or new Doom?
Like it was like Doom. It was Doom 2.
Okay.
And we were playing it. I was playing online with a couple of friends and today when you fire the BFG 9000, it basically kills everything in the room just by you firing it. Right. Everything that you're facing. So we come into this room.
Doesn't make much sense.
It's just like, we come to the room and there's like a whole horde of guys and they're all looking at us and he literally says, come get some. And then he fires it and then it misses and they just all kill him. It's like the funniest thing.
But that's not the norm.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what made it funny because like I didn't know it was possible to miss.
And it's all shooter stuff, at least for me, right? Yeah. Like the cerebral bore, we've talked about before. I love that stupid thing.
Yeah,
and it is stupid, but like
it's the coolest
weapon
in the game.
Cool, it's so fun, and you get it early enough to enjoy it.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, it's funny that you mentioned Gears of War because I was thinking about that game because
you just played it.
Well, because it's also it's one of those games where like you get like a cool weapon like right at the beginning, and it just stays cool the whole time because you get the Lancer, which is that assault rifle with a chainsaw bayonet on it. And I was like, chainsaw bayonet doesn't make much sense, but it's still badass.
Yeah,
and so
I mean, like, and it works.
Yeah, yeah, and so like, and that's that gun will carry you through the whole fucking game.
Yes,
and I kind of like it. I kind of like that about. That gun just that it just like stays useful the whole time.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, there are guns that are like are more situationally better, but like the Lancer is always the gun that I want. So and they give it to you like in the first level and then you just like use that through the whole game.
You know? Yeah.
One of the other games I was thinking about because I'm also playing it, is I really like that Baldur's Gate 3, like, because it caps out at level 12.
Yeah.
And yes, there are like some like legendary weapons or like very rare or like some ones that are really good for like your specific build. Mm-hmm. But on those, like, what your abilities are and what you, because you can multi-class and what your class is and how you do those, mm-hmm. that you can hit 12 pretty easily, like even before you hit Act 3, but especially like, but like I've seen a lot of people, like as soon as they hit Act 3, that they're hitting level 12.
Right.
So you, you can multi, and you can change your class and stuff like at any time. You just have to like pay this like skeleton man.
That's how it works, man. I mean, sometimes you just gotta pay the skeleton man.
I've seen it on like TikTok and stuff, but I call him Bone Daddy. So I was like, I almost called him that. But yeah, so you, so I like that, the fact that like I've hit my thing. It's now just utilizing what I have, changing like my spells or rotation, and for the last third of the game.
Yeah.
Which is not necessarily exactly a third, but that also just depends on your story and what you're doing.
Yeah.
So I really like that, because I really like what, being able to utilize what's like the best in it. But I also really hate when you get like a very difficult fight, like two or three bosses before the ending, and then you get like the best thing. So by the time you get to like the very final boss, it's kind of just cheesing it. Like it's just super fucking easy, and it doesn't, and it just like ends on a like weird note. Because it's just like, okay.
Sure.
Like, I haven't felt challenged in hours. I do understand, like, specifically because of that, why maybe not, like, giving the best when you can utilize it for, like, longer.
Yeah.
But to have some sort of scalability, I think, is just either important, or if, like, have it just be more and more difficult.
Yeah. I also think, like, and it's just like inherent for the genre, but like roguelites and roguelikes where you're just like getting shit at random.
Yeah.
Like sometimes you get something awesome real early on, you know?
Yeah. That negates the entire.
I've had a lot of Dead Cells runs where I'll get like an awesome sword right at the beginning, and like I'm making it farther than I've ever made it because of that sword. And then I die inevitably, and then I just don't have that, and I'm not making it nearly as far. And
I'm like, right.
Like, why not me? Why can't I have that again, you know?
So I've never played the Monster Hunter games, but I have heard where people say that with certain Monster Hunter games that that you really start playing once you finish the main story of it.
Yeah, that's
kind of
true.
So like, how does that go with, like, scalability of, like, what's the best? And I'm doing air quotations. Because with Pokemon, like, of course you can say that some Pokemon are better and, like, with IVs and shit. Yeah. But they have, like, legendary Pokemon, which you can just, for generalization, say are the best.
Yeah.
But I don't know if, with Monster Hunter, with the monsters, if there's, like, legendary monsters that are, like, the best in each, like, particular game, like there is with Pokemon.
So, like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing with Monster Hunter. That's kind of, like, the whole, like, end game is, like, clearing the main campaign. And then, like, over the course of, like, a year or two, like, Capcom, like, rolled out, like, more, like, powerful monsters or, like, more powerful variants of monsters. And it's, like, far as the weapons are concerned, it's, like, it's so subjective, right? Because, like, there are objective markers, like, raw damage output and everything. But then you're also taking into account, like, okay, well, what's your play style? So, like, if you're a hammer user, then, like, obviously, like, whatever, like, a hammer's going to be the best for you, right? So it's, like, it's weird because, like, there's, like, Monster Hunter, I feel, is, like, is so situational that it's hard to pin down, like, what, like the better weapons are, I think, because it's, like, it depends so much on situation and play style and everything. But I think that, like, Monster Hunter is, like, one of those rare games where, like, for me anyway, where the game, like, really, really, like, comes alive, like, after the credits. Whereas, like, and that's, like, I'm, like, in, like, a rush to get there because I know that's where, like, the meat of the game is. So, like, it's, so I don't really mind that, like, I'm getting all the powerful stuff, like, after that.
Yeah, because there's so much content. There's so much post-game content. Or I guess you consider it for Monster Hunter in-game content, even though there's like the storyline you finish. But I mean, like if it's most of the... If the storyline is just the potatoes and like the in, and the post-game is the end. I think,
And even then, like everything in Monster Hunter is repeatable, right? So like, you know, if I want to, then like I can take this super upgraded sword that I have and like go and like kill the kill all the weakest monsters with it just because I want to. It's not like I
get fucking wrecked, peons.
It's not like I have to like start a whole new save or like go into New Game Plus to do that. So I think it's kind of unique in that way that like it allows you to like level up and then go back and like because like so much of the game loop is like about farming like specific monsters over and over again. So
go ahead.
I was gonna say I also had a game I was gonna propose to you that I have not played but I have heard gets better gets the best at the end game content. Hollow Knight.
I've played not enough Hollow Knight
to
speak authoritatively on that.
Yeah.
No, fair enough.
I don't like Hollow Knight, so I don't have an opinion about that. But the impression that I got of that game is like you're using the same weapon throughout the whole game.
I mean, I know you're using the nail, but like it's a Metroidvania. You get abilities as the game goes on.
Yeah, so...
So I just didn't know if like you get all the abilities before the end game content where you could like that's where you can like utilize them for a while.
Yeah.
I mean I would assume so, right? Like most Metroidvanias as the game rolls on, you're progressively getting you know new abilities. But that game I have not played enough of. I've got like kind of a stupid one, but like I think about like fighting games, right? And you think about like there's really two things. Either it's a comeback mechanic or it's meter, right? Sure. And like comeback mechanics, I really kind of don't like, but they're here to stay, right? And it is fun. Like it is fun to be like, okay, I'm getting my ass beat the whole time, and now I have X factor, so I win.
Yeah.
Right. Like that is fun. And the super meter as well. Super meter typically feels better because it usually feels more earned. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if you can consider that late game in a fighting game, right?
Well, yeah,
there are some Street Fighters in the past where like you start with full meter, but most of them you're building that meter as you go.
Yeah, I mean, I think about the times where, and that's it's weird, right? Because like you're only gonna have level 3 super meter one time in the match, you know, and so figuring out like using it early, is like always, you know, a strategic choice, but like also like I feel like super meter like it's kind of like a Gears of War Hammer of Dawn situation where like you can't really
if it's too cloudy you can't use it.
Yeah, basically. You know, if it's looking too murky, but no, it's like you can use it this one time,
right?
And like you have like one situation where you can use it, and then for the rest of this match, like that's not a thing that you can use. So,
but it's like it depends on the game, though, right?
Yeah.
Like because like any Street Fighter, like low forward to super is gonna work. You know what I mean? Yeah. So like anytime you can hit that low forward, you're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I was also thinking about two Square games or Square Enix games. So Final Fantasy X-2, and I might be misremembering. But, like, yes, you don't get all of the dress spheres at the beginning, and you do find some as you go through the worlds, but it's, like, pretty, I would say, like, halfway to, like, three quarters of the way game, like, done. Like, you for sure have gotten all of them.
Yeah.
And so, like, with that, it's also just, like, so the rest of the game, for me at least, was, like, once I figured out which set I liked with them or which combos I could rotate between them that I really liked. And like you could do the different dress spheres where they have the different connections where if you want to change it like mid battle or like beforehand, it was a lot easier. Like at that point, like there's not like, you're not really getting like new stuff. I mean, like, yes, if you level up, like you get like the, like it goes from like Blizzard to Blizzaga or whatever.
Yeah.
But I don't necessarily think of those as like just getting more powerful to like hit the numbers. I don't necessarily think of it as getting a special weapon or move unless it does something different or it, like if it does damage differently. Mm-hmm. So I like with Tin too, like not only do I, yes, I do like the dress up aspect of it. I also like, and it's also with other Final Fantasy games as well, that like you don't really get like the ultimate thing per se, but like you just kind of like hone what you have.
Yeah.
And with that in the same vein is Kingdom Hearts 2 in particular is the one I was thinking of.
I was about to ask you about Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, because Kingdom Hearts 2, you get like the ultima like drive that you can go, because there's like the wisdom, strength, like there's different ones that you can go through that do different stuff. And you get a pretty like late game, even though you are like going back through worlds and stuff. But with Kingdom Hearts 2 Final Remix, and they added the extra boss battles, considering with the Hercules Coliseum and doing that, besides just the boss battle, there is a lot of other times you can utilize the things that you can get at the end of it. Because you also can get like an Ultima weapon, which is like getting these like very rare items and then and then making it with the Moogles.
Yeah.
But like as far as it goes, like, you're most powerful, you actually get to use it more than just one or two fights.
Right.
Which, like, is nice, because then you can also then do those extra things into your, like, you can evolve your current playstyle to incorporate them and feel like it's your own unique one with it.
Yeah.
And that's also, like, one of the reasons I like the franchise. Like, Kingdom Hearts 1 kind of does it, too. I'm also, like, trying to remember, but Kingdom Hearts 2 is what sticks out in my mind the most.
Yeah.
I feel like Kingdom Hearts gives you the most powerful weapon up front because, like, you got Goofy. He's, like, the strongest guy, you know?
Yuck.
I think Bayonetta does that real well in that, like, you know, any weapon in that game is fine to carry you through the game.
Yeah.
It's like a bow style thing, right?
It's like learning the moves and the combos. Like,
yeah, what do you want to do with the weapon? Do you want it on your hands? Do you want it on your feet?
Yeah.
And that's going to change how the game plays completely, you know? And it's just like, it's just fun to swap things out and experiment and, you know, find new combos and things. And, like, I think that's where Platinum, like, that's where a little, you know, Team Little Devils has Little Angels beat, or, you know, Little Angels has Little Devils beat, right? Like, it's the difference. That's what makes the difference between Bayonetta and Devil May Cry.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I would, you know, I think that, like, for everything that Bayonetta does right, I think it does a really good job of helping you with figuring, like, kind of giving you what you need to, like, figure out, like, how you want to play the game and, like, how you want to tackle different situations. And I feel that, like, I spent a good amount of time kind of, like, switching the different guns out to figure out, like, what I wanted to use and, like, what felt better in a different level. And, it, like, having that customization is really helpful.
I think it says something, too, that, like, every fighting game YouTuber has a Bayonetta playthrough on their channel, you know?
Yeah. Shanae, you mentioned Square with Final Fantasy X2, and I was thinking about Final Fantasy 15, and like, so I feel like Final Fantasy 15, like, they, like, you could upgrade your weapons in that game, but I played through that game like 3 times, and I don't feel like there's ever really a reason to. Just because of, like, the combat in that game is, like, really easy. and it's easy and sometimes, like, kind of random. Because, like, specifically, like, I would say, like, outside of your, like, the weapons that you actually equip, the most powerful weapon is the summons. But they happen at random. Like, I spent so much time trying to figure out, like, how am I getting these summons to pop? I gotta get them to happen. And I after doing some research, like, it's generally understood that it's random.
You'll keep putting your hands between your mouth and the mic, and it's killing me.
I'm sorry,
Shanae. Yeah, like, because I was also trying to think of, like, what other Square Enix games I kind of felt that way, and I was thinking of, like, Bravely Default, or the... I'm trying to think of the name of it. I'm blanking now. It's something Harvestalia, whatever.
Harvestella?
Harvestella. Yeah.
Sort of like, that's a newer one. I played
the demo of it. So I was like, but I was trying to like also like look on there. And it just seemed like, I don't know, at least in my opinion, a lot of those games, yes, you just get the better version of what it is in there, which I'm fine with.
Kind of the whole game, I feel like. As far as combat is concerned, like everything you get is just the better version of like a thing that you already had.
Yeah.
Which is like fine, because like then I can just like play around and tweak stuff here and there. Yeah, because I will be honest, like, because it's not only like that with like the Fire Emblem games, especially like the older ones too, like compared to like Three Houses and stuff like that. And with Musou's, like, it's really just extending the combos. You don't really get anything
Yeah.
You don't get anything like super crazy. It just is slight differences in like numbers damage, and maybe like you'll have to like learn how to dodge better. And it's just more of a getting used to mechanics sort of thing.
Yeah.
Because
with Musou's, like when I'm choosing weapons, it's like, does this have a 3-hit combo or a 4-hit combo? Like, which one do I want to use?
And even with like a lot of shooters too, maybe it's just because I'm bad at them. When I was trying to think of like Halos or the Call of Duties I've played or Battlefields, like it's just skill based. It's not like you're really getting anything that's like super great. Cause you said it was Resident Evil, like yes, like they're supposed to be replayed. But what pops in my mind is like Resident Evil 4 and the Chicago Typewriter, and how I wish I had that instead of having to do New Game Plus. I could have like had that on like one of the fights that like made me really frustrated. But I understand why not, but I kind of wish that like I still wish I had it on the first time so I didn't fail so fucking often.
Well, Resident Evil 2 Remake does, I don't know if this is paid or not, like if you have to pay for it, but I know that it gives the opportunity to have like a rocket launcher and like an SMG.
So all that stuff is, and it's the same with 3 and I assume the 4 Remake, but I can't say for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can earn that stuff by beating the game multiple times or you can pay for it, you know?
Yeah.
I did also want to bring up like MMOs, specifically World of Warcraft, because it's the one I have like obviously the most in there. And I, not only is it like obviously backed by a giant company, but like I definitely part of the thing of people keep going back to WoW or staying with WoW is the end game content.
Right.
And some of it's like a little bit unfair because they have longevity to have the more DLCs and more additional stuff. But also, like, there's so much in-game content to min-max, and then you can go into raids, and then you can do PvP, and there's just so many ways to really maximize your experience with it and continue to do stuff to, like, with all the enchantments and all of the fine tweaking stuff. And yes, there is a lot of things that are, like, gated, like armor that only drops in certain areas, weapons that only drop certain times, and things you can only do once you hit a level. So there are like all these caps of where you get like the best stuff.
Yeah.
But there's, even if you hit it, there's so much more after that. And there's so much other like best stuff, or even the best stuff that you have, there's ways to tweak it to where it doesn't feel like you ever, like it doesn't feel for the most part, unless you have devoted every day, all day for years, that you've hit a cap with it, that there's like not much more you can do with it. It never feels like, okay, I'm glad I have this, I guess.
Yeah.
And I think that's like one of the staying powers, because there's so many MMOs that I've tried to play to get off of, like to get stop playing WoW whenever I was like playing it all the time, that I liked it. And I was like, oh, I like that it does this more than WoW. And I like that the story better, or I think this is more like engaging and I feel more involved with it. But once you hit that in-game content, or once you get, like, I'm doing Irritation the best of something, it kind of just feels like either plateauing or declining. And you never really feel that with World of Warcraft. At least I didn't.
Hmm. Well, what do you mean?
There's plenty of times when what I mean by declining, I mean declining experience. Because, like, because there's definitely, like, times I can think of where I've gotten, like, a really powerful weapon at first. Like, pretty, I guess, like, earlier on in the game, or if I'm playing it like New Game Plus, and it, even if I'm playing a harder difficulty, I'm just fucking wrecking all the shops, so my enjoyment is declining because there's no challenge.
Yeah.
It never stops being a challenge in World of Warcraft. There's always something else to like push you. Like, yes, it's you can keep doing like dungeons to try and farm shit that you've done before, and that's tedious as fuck. But that's all MMOs. Like, there's times where it's tedious, but there's always going to be something else you could possibly do to challenge whatever you have.
Right.
Yeah. I think that the big thing for me with those games is that, like, they're all about getting those numbers to go up, right? Like, that's all it is like,
hit those metrics, exceed them.
You gotta get those, you gotta have the numbers go up.
Get those metrics.
It sucks though, because, like, that's why I think that, like, Every MMO needs like a transmog system, because it's very often that like the thing with the best stats and the thing that looks coolest don't align.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's either that or like I have a bunch of cool stuff that doesn't match, and like, but I'm just trying to get the best stats. So like, it's really important to like have like a transmog system, because like I want my numbers to go up, but I also want to look cool with those numbers up there. Otherwise, I will sacrifice the numbers to look cool, because that's more important to me.
Yeah, aesthetics.
Yeah. I don't know. I've always, like, whenever I'm playing, like, a primarily online game, like, my number one concern is how I look in the game. So.
Yeah, actually, since Baldur's Gate just put out a new patch, I've been playing without mods. And so since the patch just came out, I'm going to give it a couple days. And then next week, I'm going to the Texas Renaissance Festival. But the week after, I'm going to download these mods, because I'll have enough time to get updates to where if anything's wrong with it, it'll fix it. It'll fix it. But like specifically, most of the mods I'm looking at are all aesthetics.
Yeah.
Because Birdo, in our game that we have, because it's furthest along, the game that I'm playing by myself, I'm still in Act 1 because I've just been hopping around from hobbies, or I'm newly medicated, so I'm trying to be proactive in my life and like get some shit done that like depression Shanae has not done. So with that though, there's just like, but in the game that we have together, I don't want to wear the same outfits as him, and he has like the better ones for him and his like boo thing. So me and my boo thing are just like looking like fucking poppers next to them. Meanwhile, they're like hot as shit. And all their cutscenes look great.
So this is in your co-op campaign with him?
Yeah, this is my co-op campaign.
So what you're going to do is wait till he goes to sleep, and then you're going to sign on to both of your games, and then you're going to move his inventory to your inventory and then turn the game off.
Well, the thing is, so it's like, so I'd have to like log, so it's on his that we have the co-op campaign saved since we're playing on PC. Mm-hmm. So I'd have, and he has his Steam, like with those, like the keychain protected where it does like the code. So I'd have to take his phone, which I do know the passcode too. I can do this.
Yeah, we got a plan.
I was like, I can do this. But also like, none of us have our inventory locked, so I can take anything from his. Yeah. So I could just like take his outfits and hope he doesn't notice.
Yeah. See how long it takes him to notice. And then
I'm gonna wait for him to like, hey, I need 5 minutes to go to the bathroom or whatever, and then just like yoink.
And then like when he does notice, you just gaslight him and be like, are you sure you had that on you? Are you sure it's not in your stash?
So like, yeah, it's about to be our anniversary, and we have like a really healthy and great relationship, and we've been like really enjoying it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no one's gonna wreck that shit. Yeah, let's gaslight the fuck out of them.
The anniversary is time to start gaslighting.
I think after 12 years, let's just start mentally fucking with him. He's in a false sense of security right now.
Yeah, now it's time to take from him.
I don't remember how he got onto me stealing his outfits.
You were talking about the outfits that she.
Oh yeah, the mods. Outfits. Yes, all the mods. I just want my characters to look so pretty. And I'm actually like really excited about it, because I was thinking about downloading him, but then I found out the patch is like a new patch is going to come out, and I'm like, I'm not gonna do it, and then a patch, and then like because some of the stuff I want, even though it's just aesthetics, apparently people are reporting that sometimes it crashes their games. And like mine is already not like the top tier. I need to upgrade my graphics card. Well, I need to update a couple things. So I'm just like, I just want really nice hair and my game not to crash.
I mean, that's all anyone wants out of life, you know? So.
I mean, facts.
So, like, the last thing that I could think of that, like, I don't really like the mechanic, but in the moment, if it's happening to you, I like it, right? Like, is rubber banding mechanics is, I think what comes to most people's minds when we think about rubber banding is Mario Kart.
Yeah.
So, like, if you're doing poor, you're going to get that blue shell or you're going to get the bullet bill.
Yeah.
And, like, it's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Feels good. You know?
It's like, I'm sucking ass.
Yeah.
This is my revenge.
Right. And I've never once had a Mario Kart race where I didn't get the blue shell. I'm bad at Mario Kart.
Oh, I think you're saying that you got blue shelled like yourself. Oh, because like I was like, yeah. Oh, you're always in first place.
I've never been a member of the 1%. I've always been a member of the proletariat trying to.
But like, if you know, in a kart racer, if that's not what's considered an end game weapon, what is, right?
For sure.
And like, yeah, like it feels great to get those when you get them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And because like just seeing someone's face when they think they're about to win and they get that blue shell.
Oh, especially when you blue shell them and somebody in like third place just blizz back past them. Oh, so good.
I don't care if I lose. I just want you to not win.
That's me and my brother.
And like adding to that, like if you are in first place, that fucking stupid horn box that you get can kill a blue shell.
Oh, that, yeah.
It's so choice, you know?
Oh man, I've also like, and like specifically the one on the Wii, I remember a couple times getting like pretty decent at it to where I could, I would slow myself down to be close to second place, let them pass me.
I think a lot of people try that, yeah.
I got pretty good at it. Yeah. Granted, it was like single player versus the computer, so sure. It was a lot more reliable.
Yeah.
But I tried doing it with people, was not as successful with it as consistently as I was with a computer. Yeah. Don't know why. But that always felt good. I always felt like I'm cheating the system.
Yeah, that always feels good.
It does.
For sure.
I do wish there was like, also with this topic, I was thinking, I just kept thinking about games that I wish had some sort of like big ability or moveset or like item that you could get near the end of the game that I think would make it more fun. I mean, the one that pops in my head the most is like Hogwarts Legacy, just because there's not really anything to do with endgame stuff. Like yeah. You just finish it and you're like, oh, I guess I'm done now. I mean, I guess you can just go and do collecting stuff, but there's not really any like, I don't know. I didn't really feel like I had worked towards anything in that.
Right.
Like as far as the ending goes, I talked about the podcast, like the things that I got from it is I'm in this world that I have read about and I have thought about since I was a child and I'm feeling like I'm in this magical world and that's fucking cool.
Yeah.
But as far as the actual gameplay goes, I think even then I did admit that it's like pretty bare bones as far as a lot of stuff goes. There's nothing ever that like like the only spells you get are like things you can really utilize. You can upgrade the ones that you have, but there's no like Ultima weapon. There's no like top tier this thing.
Yeah.
There's no like, oh, I hit level 12 in Baldur's Gate. I've unlocked all my things. And now if I want to change anything, I can change classes or my spell, like slots that I have like prepared. There's not like, it's just like, oh, you've now leveled up all your spells. Cool.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I do feel like there are times when having something like that, like near the end, like kind of feels kind of good. Like I was thinking just now about 2018's God of War and how you get the Blades of Chaos like near the end of the game and it kind of feels earned. Because there's kind of some build up to that.
And also there's like the like all the things where there's like the Valkyries, there's like the Mahilism or whatever. Mahilism?
Some fucking Norse word.
Yeah.
That's like all consonants and no vowels.
It gets some vowels in there. It gets like two or three of the 17 consonants. Yeah, like those, like, I mean, at least, like, there's still yeah, even if you do like level them up, like with those, and I was also thinking about the new God of War series, like I think they also do a pretty good job with the in-game content where it's not just, at least it's more than one thing at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just like, I think about how like if Kratos was able to use the Blades of Chaos through the whole game, it wouldn't have felt as cool. It would just been like a thing, right? It would just been like
and
a thing
also
that he's
wouldn't
always
have felt, done. Also, yeah, it wouldn't have felt as unique into this new chapter of the God of War franchise. Yeah.
And so like when he like actually like pulls those back out and like you actually get to start using them, but like it feels pretty cool because like, you know, like it was, the game does a pretty good job of making you feel like that part of Kratos is like gone.
Is that the moment in the game where they would play "I Got the Power"?
I got the power.
Yeah. Or it would actually, no, because like Kratos is like kind of like boomer energy, so they're probably play AC/DC's Thunderstruck. Like what he's pulled about. Yeah. Yeah. So that's more. That's probably more his speed. So.
But even then, like in the God of War Ragnarok, even then, like you still have like both in the beginning, but they do have like things that you unlock that are like the best or like easiest combos with those. So the skill tree does feel like pretty good when you get those. And I feel like if you are wanting to not like, even if you're just going through the game and exploring all the things that you can hit those pretty easily, but you also could do like, especially on like I didn't play on the hardest difficulty, but if you did, I imagine that you would have to curate it more into like one more like skill tree, which could be cool, but that doesn't seem like it would be too terribly difficult to hit pretty like 3/4 of the game into.
Yeah.
So you can like really utilize it when you get to the end fights.
Yeah. That's another thing too, is like a well-designed skill tree feels really good to progress through. Because like on one hand, it gives you something to look forward to. But at the same time, it also does like a good skill tree will make you feel like you're getting more powerful as the game goes on,
and it like almost like refreshes the gameplay because you can have this new thing that you need to include or you can include, and or you can keep doing like the ones that you can't keep doing the shit that you're doing now.
I
agree with everything you guys said about skill trees, but like as you know, I really want a skill tree that's gonna fuck you know.
Yeah. Like, oh yeah, because Tom
I like want the skill tree where you can unlock everything.
Yeah, he wants
like
the
states. I hate that, you know.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure with like my playthrough of God of War Ragnarok, I could unlock everything.
Right.
That's kind of like that's kind of been my like gripe about the two most recent Bethesda software.
Well,
series.
It makes every play.
Did you play Starfield?
Same, right.
Like, I did play Starfield.
Like every time you play Spider-Man, as much as I like Spider-Man, you're playing the same thing. Yeah. Over and over again.
Well,
like you're going to unlock everything.
My thing is,
it's like, you know,
with RPGs like Fallout or whatever. Like, okay, so my problem with Fallout, and which also became my problem with Starfield, is that like there's no level cap, which means that like at some point, if I wanted to, I can get everything on the skill tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I like, my thing is, I like having to specialize. Like, right. I like having a certain kind of character. Because if I'm in an RPG,
it breaks everything if you can do all things.
Well, like when I'm playing an RPG, like I have an idea of like who this character is, and like nobody is good at everything.
And if you're getting everything, every character is the same.
Right. So like it just, so for me, like I have to put in like arbitrary limitations.
Right.
Of like, okay, well I'm gonna stop leveling this character at this point. And or I'm gonna stop investing skill points after I do this, because like otherwise it's not my character anymore. It's just another
guy.
So it's just that sort of thing has like always been like really irritating to me.
Yeah, because what makes you different than everybody else's character?
Right.
But like a lot of people, I don't know. Kaylee, my wife, she likes that. Yeah. Like, she likes being able to like get everything. But me, I like having to specialize. I like having to like choose like what kind of character is going to be.
I mean, I get her perspective because like there's definitely certain games I feel like I get that FOMO. Yeah. So like I'm like, I was like, I really want this one thing of the here, but also like if I go this route, I can't do that thing.
Yeah.
That's what makes the subsequent playthroughs exciting. because now I'm going to like, I have this whole new character that I've crafted. But, and now they're going to be this guy.
Well, but I also like, think it's just a generational thing. Like, I think, I do think it's an old man thing where it's like I like in Diablo 2 where you can fuck yourself out of being able to beat the game. You know, based on your choices, you can make it impossible to beat that game.
Yeah.
You know, whereas in Diablo 3, it doesn't matter what you do, you're going to be fine.
Yeah. Diablo 4 kind of splits the difference between those. Yeah.
But I don't know if it's necessarily a generational thing, but I think it just is a different.
I mean, I say that only in that like old games did that and new games do not.
You know? I mean, some do, but yeah, not all. Like, I don't know. There's just like sometimes because especially me with my like obsessiveness, like sometimes I don't want to put in 500 hours into this game. I just want to do all the things and be done with it. But because there is a skill tree where I can do all the things, I now have to play this game 17 times, and I didn't necessarily want to.
Yeah.
But because I'm me and I want to do these things and be able to say that I did this thing, I have to.
But to be fair, you also did more Three Houses playthroughs than you had to.
I did it for all the endings.
I thought you did all the endings and then you kept playing.
Well, yeah, because it came out DLC, and so I had to figure out how this fourth house.
Sure. Okay.
And the three houses worked out.
The fourth house is the three houses.
And then I wanted to play it on an even more challenging difficulty.
Okay. It's already.
So I only played one superfluous playthrough.
Okay. also, like Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom aside, like normal traditional Zelda games, I feel like you always get the Master Sword at a decent time with enough time to enjoy it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, that's the whole thing.
All the ones that I can think of that I've played.
Me like a badass weapon that I can only use for like 30 minutes. That's lame.
Yeah. That's normally how it is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looking at you, Infamous Second Son.
Yeah. Or even Infamous the First One.
Yeah. Infamous First Son.
Yeah. I'd also say the KOTOR games as well. Not the online ones, but like the OG ones.
Yeah. And I feel like Nintendo in general is really good about that stuff, right? Because, like, even if you think about, like, Mario games, which is what I have on my brain, it's like, okay, you've got these stupid power-ups, right? You got your fucking Tanuki suit and your Fire Flower and all that shit, right? And it's like, each level gives you the power-up in that level that is best suited for that level. But you are more than welcome to use whatever you want in any of those levels, you know?
And even with like Mario Odyssey, like we've talked about it before, there's no like actual like skill tree or gap
or power ups really.
Yeah, like you start off like the game basically being able to do everything you can in game, and it's just you spend the entire game figuring out how to do these things, and then learning that muscle memory and getting like used to it.
Yeah.
So I mean, like on there, I guess you could also say that you got like the best ability or moveset like. From the jump.
Sure. I mean, I feel like that's kind of cheating, but I get what you're saying. And like Odyssey is weird because it is like the capture abilities. Those are your power-ups, but like really they're not power-ups. They're kind of just changing the gameplay.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, was there anything else that y'all wanted to touch upon or anything you wanted to add? We haven't talked about...
Well, okay, so Kirby in the Forgotten Land is like the same as any other Kirby game where you suck
them. Oh, Kirby. I heard Kirby in the Forgotten Land, and I was like, what?
Like, you suck the power from them.
You suck them and then you get the power, right?
Like, it's the same as that. Yeah. But, like, it's, I don't know if it's the only one. It's the only one I can think of where, like, you can level those up.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it is weird, but it's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And, like, you can do that shit. Pretty early in game and enjoy that shit pretty early in game. And, you know, I feel like that's kind of the basis of the conversation, right? Because it is Infamous Second Son, right? That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
When you get the best fucking thing and you just can't do anything with it.
I want to be a rock monster the whole time.
Yeah.
So. Also, Infamous Second Son isn't as good as I remembered it being in 2013.
Shocking.
Fine.
Shocking.
For a launch window game on the PlayStation 4, it was fine.
I think that if Delson Rowe was not a character, it would have been way better. Also, final thought, Infamous Second Son has my favorite video game line of all time, where Fetch says, foreplay is for the weak.
I mean, Pokemon games do better with in-game content. You did it once, you can do it again.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, everyone says, like, Gold and Silver is the best. I wouldn't know, but, you know.
Yeah, it just, like, introduced a lot of concepts that are now kind of, like, more staple.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, like, it did it the best.
Yeah.
And they haven't really, like, they've changed things, like, they've, especially on the Switch and, like, things like there, but I wouldn't say necessarily anything has been the dramatic improvement experience was still feeling like an OG Pokemon game as, like, Gold and Silver.
Yeah.
But yeah. you can find us on most podcast apps. We do have a Discord that will be linked.
And pretty much all the podcast apps, but no more YouTube.
No, yeah. You can no longer see our beautiful faces unless you want to get old episodes, which you're more than welcome to.
Unless I decide to delete them, which I might.
yeah. But bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.